To grow your business, you have to market your business. That takes a plan, a strategy, and a team that knows how to implement it. That's what we do for our clients every day. Don't just throw money at different media and hope it works. Talk to us and let us show you what we can do for you. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain.
It's time for Barbecue Nation with JT. So fire up your grill, light the charcoal, and get your smoker cooking. Now, from the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in Portland, here's JT.
This is an encore.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Nation. That's Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, along with my Hall of Famer co-host, Miss Leanne Whippen, and Dave and Chris and Alex and the crew are running around in the background somewhere. We'd like to thank the folks at Painted Hills Natural Beef, beef the way nature intended. They do have a special going on. We'll talk about that a little later in the show. Today, we have a very, very, very special guest, Dave Raymond, the namesake and co-creator of Sweet Baby Ray's barbecue sauce. He's famous. And he's one of our more famous guests that we've had. And if you don't know anything about Sweet Baby Ray's barbecue sauce, you've probably been living under a rock is the only thing I can say because it's a big seller in the barbecue sauce business. But we'll talk all about that. Dave, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. Happy to be here.
Well, you look good. Are you happy?
Oh, COVID retired me the first week. I'm about as happy as a guy could be.
So
I mean that sincerely. I stopped coming to work, but my nephew Deuce, who's my partner and the son of my brother who created Sweet Baby Ray's, we've shared office space for, at that time, 15 years. Not office space, but one office where we were in it together. So the last 3 years of the company, he had basically been running the company already. So now it just seemed like it was perfect timing, and surviving COVID, we're doing better than ever. So to be able to get the good part of that stuff without having the pressures and responsibilities, who wouldn't be the happiest guy in town?
Oh, right. Absolutely. So right. you actually had COVID yourself?
I got it in January, this January for the first time. But I'm saying people in the restaurant and catering business
had no
reason to come to work after the first week of COVID.
Right. Yeah, we saw that out here on the West Coast, and I think Leanne saw that in Florida. So that was a very, very tough deal. Well, Ray, let's get some historical stuff out of the way.
You're calling him Ray. It's Dave.
It's Dave.
Dave is good.
I'm sorry.
Easy to do.
Ah, jeez. All right. Dave, let's get some historical stuff out of the way here. Thank you, Leanne, for that.
You're
welcome. That's why she's my boss, really, Dave.
The sauce is the boss.
The sauce is the boss. I like that. How did you and your brother come up with this? And you've got to tell the story about why the sauce is called Sweet Baby Ray's.
Back in 1982, I was a buyer for a pharmacy that filled prescriptions for nursing homes. And the salesman came in and said, "He made good ribs." I said, "No, I made good ribs." He came back 3 days later with a column from Mike Rico, who said he made good ribs and didn't understand why Black people got all the credit for it. He was besieged with letters and phone calls, and that's what began the Mike Rico rib contest. Salesman comes back and said, "Hey, let's get into this rib contest." Having never done anything like that before, I said, "Sure." Salesman leaves. I immediately get on the phone to my brother up in Wisconsin, who's a chef by training, told him I was getting into a rib contest. I needed a barbecue sauce. He talked to the 7 best people in the business that he knew to get their ideas, what would constitute a good barbecue sauce. And then with his own ideas, specifically formulated the sauce for the name Sweet Baby Ray, a nickname I had growing up on the west side of Chicago. My last name is Raymond. The Black guys called my brother Ray, and they called me Baby Ray. Most of my life, I was 100 pounds less than him. I've managed to narrow the gap as I tell my story. So they called me Baby Ray, and for my baseline jump shot playing basketball, as in, that's sweet, Baby Ray.
There you go.
I like that.
So the song was actually created for the name. We wound up winning second place out of 700 contestants.
Mm.
And I incorporated the following year, and the rest we say is history.
Yeah.
Is Mike's rib contest still going in Chicago? I know he's not.
No, I don't think it's been going for about 15, 20 years now.
Because I used to read it.
So Ray Lampe tells the story that he and I were in the first Mike Royko rib contest in 1982, and I'm pretty sure I heard him say that there were no competitions before 1982. So he takes some and gives me some credit for starting out even earlier than those guys.
Well, that's why we love Ray Lampe too, like that. Leanne, you were up there?
No, I wasn't there at the time.
But later on, was Mike's contest still going when you were there?
No, I mean it could have been, but you know I was more along the Eastern Seaboard than I was Midwest.
Okay,
in my comps.
Okay, just people are going to ask, and I want to know for sure.
Yes.
So, Dave, in all the years you've been doing this, I know there's ups and downs. There's ups and downs in every business. There's ups and downs in what we do right here, right now. But what's the greatest up, the greatest high, you might say, that you've had from being in the barbecue / sauce business?
Probably winning second place in Reno, Nevada, in Best of the West Rib Contest. Our first year out there, we traveled 1,800 miles, cooked hundreds of cases of brisket and pork and ribs, and we had a fried chicken with a pecan glaze for it, and all of our sides and everything, and we weren't that advanced as cookers. So to go out there our first year and have that kind of success and standing, my nephew Deuce was standing right next to Mike Mills, who was my absolute personal hero. And Mike uttered these words that my nephew will never forget talking about. Mike says to him, "Deuce, I hope you come in second place."
Well, a little karma there or something like that. Go ahead.
I was just going to say there's a lot of karma wherever Mike Mills goes.
That is true. How many competitions do you think you competed in, Dave?
Well, first of all, I think my nephew might be right in the background here. So let me say I'm the fluff and not the stuff. And I think I've been with our team in 60 competitions. I'm guessing he would probably say he's been in closer to 70 or maybe 75. And then we've been with other people that have cooked more. But at the end of the day, I judge by what Deuce and I have been in. And almost all of those, it's been with his team, Deuce is Wild. Although the first competition team I was on, especially since I'm a Christian person, the name of the team was the Church of Swinetology. So just, you know, I'm 100% a guy and his story, and then you can tell me about your barbecue and your place, and competition barbecue has all of that and more, just like restaurants do. And now, barbecue people are unique that they like each other and hang around with each other and eat each other's food. Once again, like Mike Mills says, that the pizza guys don't do that. So
that's
we like
true.
Each other enough to hang out with each other. We like each other to share our information with. And I think it is a unique community.
Yeah, I think Mike was right on that, in the fact that I owned a restaurant at one time, and I owned a catering company at one time, and I didn't hang out with the other restaurateurs. Now the bar owners I would hang out with, but the restaurant, the actual restaurant aspect of that. And, you know, unless it was something that they put right in front of you when you were sitting there across the counter from something with a big mirror and a lot of bottles, I probably didn't bother much. You know what I mean?
Like restaurant guys come to find out they're probably working.
Yeah.
I don't know any other industry where people work more than the restaurant industry. 60, 80 hours a week, common, up to 100, 110, not uncommon.
No, that's
here. You got to be nuts to be in this business.
Oh, yeah. Well, my co-pilot right over there, you know, she's been in it at times for, well, she's got a lot of years, but with the apron on back in the kitchen overseeing this stuff. And it's funny. It's tough because sometimes on this show, Dave, just a little sidebar, people will be doing the interview, doing the discussion and all that. And then they'll say either I really want a brick and mortar restaurant or I want my own TV show. And Leanne and I both simultaneously will say, why?
Why? Yeah.
Yeah.
Grass is not greener on the other side, but somebody's got to do it, right?
People should do it. Are people in who are in the restaurant business should be people who love to serve other people. That's at the end of the day, you need that reward because the work or the pay isn't worth it. But if you relate to people well, then you get to serve people and that makes them happy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back with Dave Raymond, the namesake and one of the originators of the Sweet Baby Ray's barbecue sauce, now a catering magnate and restaurateur in Chicago. And Miss Leanne and I'll be back with Dave right after this.
Ready for a new ride? Choose from over 1,000 vehicles at Weston Kia, like a new Kia Sportage, Soul, Forte, K4, Sorento, Telluride, or Carnival, gas, electric, or hybrid. Oregon's all-time leader in Kia sales. Everyone wins at Weston.
1994 to January 2026, Weston Kia sold more new Kias than any other Kia dealer in Oregon, reported by Kia Corp.
Hey everybody, it's Jeff here. I want to tell you about something really cool. Heritage Steel Cookware. I just got mine. I do a lot of cooking, and it's got 5-ply construction stay cool handles. It's titanium strengthened. It's got all the great stuff. Just go to heritagesteel.us and find out more. You'll love it. I guarantee it.
This is an encore.
Welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, along with Ms. Leanne Whippin. Follow us on Facebook, if you would. I never ask people to really do that, but follow us on Facebook, which is Barbecue Nation JT, or our own respective Facebook pages and our Twitter accounts and all that stuff. Today, we're talking with Dave Raymond, Sweet Baby Ray's restaurant catering business. And if you recognize the name, of course, he was one of the originators of the Sweet Baby Ray's barbecue sauce, which is huge. Dave, do you regret selling the sauce?
Well, let me clear that up for you.
Okay.
I am the founder of the company, and I can, and how I refer to myself to in a situation like that, I'm the name on the bottle.
Okay. All right. So as the name on the bottle and the founder of the company, do you have any regrets from selling the company? Cause you guys were doing, you know, land rush business, and it's just gotten bigger.
We were the fifth best selling barbecue sauce in the country when we sold. And my wife and I thought that we had enough money to last us the rest of our lives. I felt as though we could never catch up to our competition. KC Masterpiece and Kraft and Bullseye, they've been around 40, 50 years longer than us. They had the brokers, the network, top sales guys, and the money required to take advantage of all of those opportunities. So how are we going to ever catch up to that? Well, as it turns out, I was wrong about that as well as a lot of other things. I would say the regret I would have is not dealing with some of the excellent people that I had a chance to build some relationships with, and the absolute most fun in my entire business career and maybe my whole life is going in and spending 15 or 20 or 25 minutes on a sales call and being able to walk out with a few thousand cases sold, sometimes less and end days, sometimes more. And that's when you know you're alive. That's what I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's those sales calls. But then having said all of that, I would say that doesn't come close to the level of pride that I have with where Sweet Baby Ray's is today. The massive market share that they enjoy never could have happened if my partner Mike and I had kept a business. And as my brother Larry, the chef that created Sweet Baby Ray and Deuce's dad, said one time, I mean, we had lots of great moments together that would bring tears to our eyes just talking about how something like this happened to us, how we grew up and everything. So the notion of what he said in one of those times was the fact that Sweet Baby Ray's is number one now, and I'll be number one as long as my kids are alive. What more could a guy ask for? So,
right.
So that covers a lot of ground, and to emphasize the growth that they have had, and it's just absolutely unbelievable. I started the company with $2,000, barely a high school education and a dream. And over the years, I have been many people saying, "Who is this guy? How could he do it? I could do it. I could blah 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 blah." But to me, the only thing that sets me apart from any other person is, I would say, because of how I grew up, I had bigger dreams and they lasted longer, and I'm 68 years old. I'm still chasing my dreams. Most of the people I know had to give up chasing their dreams a long, long time ago. Mm-hmm. So again, for all that, I feel as blessed as anybody could be.
You know, Dave, it's funny you say that. I went to a celebration of life yesterday, and he's one of my best, his son is one of my best friends, the guy who passed away, his son, and he's also happens to be my lawyer. And we grew up across the creek together. We grew up in a very rural area of Oregon. All right. So we're out there doing this stuff, and a bunch of old people that we went to high school with, because his dad was a baseball coach, they come filtering through the door through the course of the afternoon. Every one of them asked me, Are you retired yet? Are you going to retire like that? And my friend, his name is Jeff also, both of us were standing there, and they would say, "Are you guys going to retire?" And then it's like, why? What am I going to do? You know, I can only play so much golf and cut the lawn so many times. So I think if you've got it in you to keep charging forward, I think that's a really good deal. And you obviously have that.
I do.
It's all good. We got a couple minutes where we got to go to break here, Dave, but what's a big thing still on the agenda for you to accomplish?
On my wish list and dream list, I currently have three things. First, ongoing my faith. I'm pretty involved with my faith, and I spend a fair amount of time trying to serve the underserved and to help feed the food insecure in the inner city, kind of, sort of, in the neighborhoods that I grew up in. So that's ongoing and the most important thing. And the pie in the sky for me is trying to help my nephew at some point move his brand forward to Deuce's Wild Competition Barbecue. And then I'll put that right to the side of still having some input into how he and I are 50-50 partners in our businesses now, and we have lots of conversation, and I have some input on that. And then the other pie in the sky thing, for probably 12 or 13 years I've had it in my head to try to get a national barbecue and grilling museum together. And I've read 4.5 books on it, and I've talked to a lot of people, and everybody tells me that it's not really possible. And because in this day and age, it could be millions and millions and millions of dollars or not, but at the end of the day, there's better clauses to work for it where people would put their money. Not in my mind. In my mind, Smithfield is a $22 billion company. All the other companies associated with people who eat barbecue and grill foods in their backyards. In my mind, this could be a place where it could, more than ever we need it, because it could help bring people of all flavors together. And, you know, you can't have the best of anything without diversity.
Well, I ask you, and that's a great answer. And another great answer is Dave, Miss Leanne, and myself will be back in just a couple minutes. We got to pay a couple bills, but you're listening to Barbecue Nation on USA Radio Networks and assorted other platforms and things around the world. And we'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's JT, and I have eaten, if you've ever looked at me, you know that, but I have eaten seafood all over the world, and I can tell you there's no place better than here in Oregon and our Dungeness crab. If you want to learn more about Oregon Dungeness crab, just go to OregonDungeness.org and find out how to cook it, how to catch it, where to buy it, and the sustainability of what they're doing there in the Oregon Crab Commission. Check it out.
This is an encore.
Welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT along with Leanne Whippin, Hall of Famer, and Mr. Dave Raymond there. See, I got your name right this time, Dave. Geez, only took me 14 minutes to do it. But again, the people at Painted Hills Natural Beef, they have a special offer for Barbecue Nation listeners. You can go to their online store, which is naturalbeef.com. You got to put a hyphen in there. Go to their online store, place your order, and in the bottom left-hand side, there's a thing for a product code. Just put BBQ Nation. Lowercase is fine. BBQ Nation, and you'll get 15% off your order, and some of their fine beef will arrive right at your door. And secondly, Ms. Whippin's family-owned and her management, Pig Powder. Pig Powder was developed by her dad. Trim Tab, or Jim, if you will, and he won the best rub on the planet, and Leanne runs that outfit now, and you can find that at pigpowder.com. I will say I use Pig Powder not just on pork. I use it on a lot of stuff, and it's
I'm shipping you out some more today.
Are you?
Replenish. Yes, I am.
Do I get the autograph picture that goes with
it? Sure, I'll do that.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Dave didn't know that, but if you order enough Pig Powder, Dave, Leanne will send you an autograph picture.
So you should do that with your barbecue sauce.
Yeah. I think it works out well, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
When how tough
this would be my big tip. Sense off at store level. That's how you sell the most product is to get the price as low as you can to make it most affordable for the consumer. Then after some point when they actually try it, then you got a chance for repeat business. And that's the name of the game in retail.
Yeah, absolutely. Words well spoken. I forgot what I was going to ask you there. But growing up in Chicago, your story, your family wasn't a family of great means. You were probably just average kids, weren't you?
Oh, we were a long way from average. My mom was married 5 times. I went to 8 different grammar schools, and I was the last white kid on the block in 2 neighborhoods.
Okay.
On the other hand, the people I grew up with were sort of all like that. So if you ask me if I had a good childhood and I had a good time growing up, my answer would be absolutely yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, sure. What's wrong with that? That's just part of life. I mean, really, you can do that.
It's part of life, but you have to make adjustments to it. Like you have to muster up a positive attitude, and you have to muster up doing more to get out of that place so you can have somewhat of a normal life. And in doing so, growing up, I'd say I grew up ghetto strong. I knew at a very early age that no matter how crappy the day is, tomorrow rolls around. And you find some way to deal with it. I knew a lot of people. You know, I was exposed to diversity at a young age, and that helped me in my business and helped me in my life to get along with people and learn that at the end of the day, no matter how tribal we are, we're all humans.
Yes.
So I was able to get. I also learned not to be afraid of things. You know, I had. I never had that much, so I was always willing to risk everything. So it wound up being a major competitive advantage for me in business and just any one of a number of things like that. It just, you know, it could always be better, but it could always be a lot worse than it could be a lot better. So you have to find some way of connecting positivity to your life, no matter where you are, no matter what your situation is. Mm.
Very wise words.
Do you remember the first sales call you went on after you had Sweet Baby Ray's sauces bottled and ready to go? And, you know, do you remember the first big account?
You betcha. I might have said this to Leanne, and that might be why you're asking me. But here's the truth of the matter. Is my very first sales call, I went into a 500-square-foot butcher shop and said these words. You don't need any barbecue sauce today, do you? As it turns out, they did not. And I'd like to think that over time, my presentations got a little bit better, but it wasn't for a long time. I would say six, 8 months. And then I would say easily 200 calls before you learn how to turn the no's into yeses. And for me, that happened over a period of time. After being rejected time and time and time and time again, I would then come out and say, "Ooh, I should have said this," or "Ooh, I could have said that." And then sometime after that, I because I'm a businessman, I got together a sheet of paper and I titled it "Responses to Common Objections." So then I would go in on a call and the guy would say. Well, it's February. I don't need any barbecue sauce. And I'd be able to say, well, you want to get a bottle ready for April or May when they have the pantry fill. So the first nice day, you got a bottle of barbecue sauce to use. Or I own a restaurant and I have great rib. Why would I change my sauce? And number nine might have been, well, ask your good customers to try the sauce on a chicken sandwich. Get some feedback from them. So it's at some point, I learned and understood that no wasn't always no. And then I also learned that you can help yourself. And I also learned there's more than one way to skin a cat.
That is true. That is true. Do you remember the last sales call you went on before you sold the company?
I remember my last year that I made a successful sales call to Walgreens, which got us into an ad program that went out to 40 million potential people that could buy Sweet Baby Ray's. And then I remember we had an ad with a hardware store called Menards that they had on their front page of their ad, up to 6 bottles free, Sweet Baby Ray's, of which that earned me calls from every buyer in Chicago. Hey, I want the deal you gave that guy. Hey, I want the deal. And there were a lot of questions to be answered there. But California was what was my last year. And we went into Compton, California, where I had lunch, by the way. And then I called on Food for Less and Ralph's, which were like 200 feet away from each other in the same building, and made successful calls to both of them and walked away with a 8.3 share of the Los Angeles market in our first year. And hard to think that anybody could have had that kind of growth, all due to Ralph's, which was, I think, 40% of the market
right
at that time. And they had a buy one, get one free offer that just drove cases and cases and cases.
When you
it's not only, you know, your sales tactic, I feel like the sauce itself, you know, it's merit on its own. Do you think that
would be my brother's opinion?
I was going to say, do you think the hurdle was getting it to the point where they'd actually taste the sauce and then you make the sale, or they didn't even need to taste it in order for you to make the sale?
Well, Well, early on, we knew that if we could get people to try our sauce, we would earn our share of repeat business. That was a big deal for us, of which I remember the days, very early days, my partner saying to me that anybody could give it away, which turned out not to be true. Not that he wasn't true about a lot of stuff, but he wasn't true about that, because three times crap is still crap.
Right. And,
mm-hmm. So you have to have a reasonable product. And I think I forgot your question. Could you ask me that again?
No, I think you got
yeah,
it.
You it's, got it.
You didn't have to actually taste it, you know, but once they did taste it, you kind of got them hooked, you know, at that point.
Could I comment on that? So
sure.
So I would want to say that when my brother passed away, I think it's been 2 years ago now, his daughter, my niece, was getting together his obit, as they call it. Mm-hmm. And wanted to honor him and give him recognition that she felt he was deserved in the barbecue community. And I tried to explain to her that from my position, he wasn't deserving of that in the barbecue community. He was deserving of that in the barbecue, in the retail barbecue sauce world, because literally what his recipe did was change the perception of what the vast amount of people in America feel is the correct flavor profile of barbecue sauce. It used to be a vinegar-based sauce, and then Sweet Baby Ray's, which has over a 50 market share in the entire United States right now, number one or two in 34 of the 35 major markets. So he literally, with Sweet Baby Ray's, change what the perception of what people think they like for barbecue sauce. Mm-hmm. You could also accuse him of being contributing to the obesity of America with a hyper-toast corn syrup in there. But in our family, that's how we look at it. And I am immensely proud of him, as is his Deuce and his daughter. And I can't even talk about it without getting choked up.
I understand
how it got us out of where we were and gave us some significant feelings of achieving when we were in a position when nobody thought we would.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually the best legacy, the way you described it there, Dave. I mean, to me, I didn't know your brother, obviously. And you and I just met, you know, 40 minutes ago, but what a great way to remember somebody. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like that. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with Dave Raymond from Sweet Baby Ray's right after this here on The Nation. Stay with us.
Ready for a new ride? Choose from over 1,000 vehicles at Westin Kia, like a new Kia Sportage, Soul, Forte, K4, Sorento, Telluride, or Carnival. Gas, electric, or hybrid. Oregon's all-time leader in Kia sales. Everyone wins at Westin.
1994 to January 2026, Westin Kia sold more new Kias than any other Kia dealer in Oregon. Reported by Kia Corp.
Hey everybody, JT here. I want to tell you about Hammerstahl knives. Hammerstahl combines German steel with beautiful and functioning designs. They're part of the Heritage Steel Group, which also does their pots and pans. So go to heritagesteel.us, check out the Hammerstahl knives. If you're really into cooking, I think you're really going to like them.
This is an encore.
Welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, along with Ms. Whippin. We've got Dave Raymond, Sweet Baby Ray's. That was his nickname from his basketball, inner city basketball stuff that he did. That's how he got the handle on that. Dave, I wanted to ask you one thing. Back in those days, when you first started selling the sauce, a common practice today is for people to have to buy shelf space. You know, facings and shelf space. I've been through that.
Slotting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Slotting. Piece.
Did you guys have to do that?
Yes and no. We, the vast majority of my career, we were able to negotiate better terms because we were a little guy. And then at some point I'm going to, so my last year, which was 2001, maybe 2000, slotting for Jewel's 184 grocery stores in Chicago. was $22,000 per size, per flavor.
Wow.
So at that point, I would say, and once you pay it, then you're in, and you don't pay it every year as long right. as you keep your sales up, which in the grocery business, they say, birth is tough, resurrection is almost impossible. So once you're in, you got to keep paying, because if you get the boot, you don't get back in.
Did they make you...
Anyhow, Tim,
go ahead.
So I would say we probably got in for around 5,000 per size, per flavor. And Campbell's Soup is the only brand that I knew of at the time that didn't pay any slotting. They had so much performance that's how it went. And my last year, I go into Jewel in Chicago, and I'm, you know, trying to negotiate what's going on and get the best deals, like we always got. And the buyer says to me, "Dave, you know, like, you're number one in the category, you got to pay some money." but let me just take a second and explain what that $22,000 does. $22,000 got me into 184 stores, and then you got to be selling like 3/4 of a case per week to keep your slot. Right. And then the product goes to Jewel's warehouse. Then from Jewel's warehouse, it goes to 184 stores warehouse. Then it goes from the stores warehouse to the shelf. And then there's kids that have to front it every night when bottles are... when bottles are taken away. If you have it on display, it gets moved back and forth. If bottles break, they have to clean up. So there's lots of things that occur. There's all the tracking of a retail price, of a sale price, of a 2 for $3, of a 3 for $5, of returns that come back that you have to make good. And there's just lots of things that happen just for that piece of it. And then you have a broker that represents you to all those stores. And in stores like Jewel, you got to be in those stores. They're big stores once a week. They're smaller stores twice a week. Independent groups, you got to be in twice a month. Independent stores, you got to be in once a month. And all these times, you're not just walking in there. You're working to build your relationship with the grocery manager. You're looking to build your relationship with the store manager. If you do a demo there and you can hand out some bottles to people that work in the store, why wouldn't those guys be more inclined to recommend something that they've tasted and they're familiar with, and somebody is doing them right, than a plain old everyday brand like Kraft and Open Pit? So as a small guy, you do have opportunities, but you have to be there and seize them, because the big guys have all of the advantages.
Mm-hmm. Did you have to do with your slotting? Did you say, okay, we are slotting this, and you just went over the shelf space that you had to fill, and this is how much you had to fill it, and this is how much to be there. I went through a similar situation like that a long time ago, but they also wanted so many free cases per store. They wanted like 4 cases of my product per store. There was 20 stores. That was a lot of cases with you're starting up with no money to give away.
So there's a customer in Chicago, we'll call him Customer A.
Okay.
And my first year, they had 17 stores, and he wanted 2 cases free for each store. And then he was going to build 4 more stores. So he wanted another 8 cases for those stores that weren't open yet. So that seemed ridiculous to me. So I said, no way, I'm not going to do that. So that was one whole year I had no sales whatsoever from store A. So the lesson there is if you want to play the game, you got to pay the price. And he was a big customer, and they wound up moving a ton of product for me, and live and learn. Mm-hmm. And also how you are as a person and what kind of values you have that you bring to your business. I was doing a food show in the early day, and we had a raffle to give away a Weber grill. And at the end of the day, I go to pull the winning raffle out, and I pull it out, and the guy puts it back in, and then he looks at the list of people who got there. Here, this is your winner here. He picked the best customer that we have. So that didn't play well with me. So my solution to that was I never had any more of those deals. Yeah. Instead of doing that, I would rather have nothing.
Mm-hmm. No, I understand. Dave Raymond from Sweet Maybe Ray's restaurants now and catering companies, and the original company owner and namesake of Sweet Baby Ray's Sauce. Dave is going to stick around for after hours, but thanks, man. This has been great.
You've missed the most important recent news about him.
What's that?
That he was inducted to the Hall of Fame.
That is right. And that is my bad.
That is a huge, huge honor. Huge honor.
Big mouth that I am. I do want to say, counting you as a Chicagoan for your years of a most excellent restaurant and representing the barbecue community in Chicago.
Oh,
there are 9 inductees from Illinois. So more than any other state, and clearly higher than anybody. I think a lot of people should be thinking that George Stephen from Weber Grill. You know, he opened up the our country's minds to backyard barbecuing, and or grilling is the fact of the matter. And I try to make this differentiation is if you just count barbecuing, you know, there are all these great barbecue guys that get all the recognition. But at the end of the day, 3 or 4% of the population is barbecuing. When if you throw grilling into that mix, now we're up to 95% of the population. Where is the next great barbecue guy coming from? Absolutely, right. Positively, 100% backyard barbecue.
Yep.
So to me, barbecue is both a noun and a verb. And as I said earlier, I'm much more tuned into the guy and his story than I can get into his barbecue and his place.
Right. There you go. Anyway, we have got to get out of here. Dave Raymond, thank you. He's going to stick around for after hours. Miss Leanne, thank you. Remember our motto here, turn it, don't burn it. And we'll be back next week. Take care, everybody.
Barbecue Nation is produced by JTSD LLC Productions in association with Salem Media Group. All rights reserved.